if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome back to me, because I've been here for the past 2 weeks. It's BRB UK, it's episode 257, and I am Dan, one of your hosts, so hello to you. It's a bit of an altered, or different, there we go, that's a better word, bit of a different podcast crew this evening, since Timothy's off learning how to be a wizard. For some reason, he is headed forth into the night in East Finchley, brandishing a chopstick because he thinks that makes him a wizard. So, God knows if Tim's going to get back. Fun fact: my Patronus is a Marsh Harrier. Oh, I'd like to introduce you to a man who's also going to tell you what his Patronus is. You're a gizzard, Harry. It's Coleman.
Hi, my Patronus. My Patronus is a basset hound, which is amazing.
That is pretty, I have to say, that's pretty spot on.
Also, yeah, I heard Timothy's a wizard now, and a thumping good'un at that.
Really? Is he?
That's all I got.
Really? Okay. He'd never been a problem with him. He'd never be able to cast a spell. So he's going, well, basically what I'm going to do, right, I'm going to wave this, and then basically what we're going to do is basically we're going to do a spell where what you need to do is you need to slightly rotate it, and then you need to kind of move it a bit this way and then that way, and then it goes blue. And then you've got to move it a bit further up.
No. I think you need to put that thang down, flip it, and reverse it.
Oh, yeah, that's what you got to do, mate.
Yep.
Yep. And we're also joined in lieu of Tim, a man who's also got a Patronus, and he's also Irish. Those two facts are completely unconnected. It's Diabet!
Hello there.
Hello.
I hear your Patronus is bigger than ours.
My Patronus is a dapple grey stallion, which really should kind of feed into my ego and say that's, you know, dapple grey stallion, that's cool.
Irish stallion.
All I'm focusing on is the grey bit, and I'm like, how do they know? How do they know my colour?
Okay, good. So even that light bit of fun has shaken your belief in yourself. That's fascinating. I'm so alone. Why? Why does the inexorable march of time continue? Why?
Just to explain the lead up to that, Tim's away watching the Harry Potter stage show in London. I've forgotten the name of it again.
Cursed Child.
Thank you. He's off seeing The Cursed Child with his wife, so that's a thing that they're doing, and that's why he's missing the show.
Aww. Isn't it around their anniversary time or something?
It's already been.
Ah, there we go. And I'm taking this is the... Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot gift from Tim.
Well, he would have bought the tickets like a year or two ago because they sold out stupidly quick in huge advancement, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were pretty penny, if I remember correctly.
Wow. And it's in, like, two parts or something. Anyway, let's stop talking about Tim's night out, because we're not on it. We could be, but it'll make for an exceptionally awkward situation.
Did you get invited?
No, I didn't.
On the anniversary of us being at Tim's wedding.
I know. He didn't invite us to...
I know. We're going to be like a close-knit family, and he doesn't even invite us to see Harry sodding Potter with him.
I know. I even look like Harry bloody Potter.
You do look a bit like Harry Potter.
Yeah, I do.
If it all gone wrong for him.
Yeah. Post-drugs hell, Harry Potter.
His life as an auror just went down the drain.
Harry Potter, the middle-age spread years.
If Hagrid turned up as you were a kid, and he's like, you're a wizard, Danny. Danny Potter. You're
Thanks,
a wizard,
mate.
Danny, and a thumping good at that. And you're like, nah, it's all right. I'm going to bumble around here for a bit.
Eat my dust is what I'm going to do. You're going to eat my dust. But talking about things that are surprising, but at the same time actually not, Crackdown.
Yeah.
Specifically Crackdown 3.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Crackdown 3 that was going to make our eyeballs fall out of our faces in wonderment at what the Xbox One X, which if you initialize it, is Xbox.
Wait. Specifically, Crackdown 3 that was announced at the same time as the initial Xbox.
No, it wasn't announced at the same time as the Xbox
One.
Because they
announced the Xbox One at the Xbox One event, and then they did all the games at E3.
And then there was some event about the power of the cloud that involved buildings falling over.
Yeah, that was the E3 presser, and Crackdown 3 was announced at the E3 presser, the same like a month after or a couple of weeks after the initial Xbox One announcement. So this launch game.
It's not one but two console launches now. Is that what you're saying?
Well, three if you count the S.
Not really.
No?
I don't think I do.
But they made it white and smaller.
Well, a lot of things get smaller over time. But
4K video output.
Well, yes, and a 4K Blu-ray player, but it's still, it's a half. It's a 0.5, all right?
Okay.
We'll treat that as a light slap on the wrist rather than you dullard. You're a dullard, Harry. of missing yet another console launch. So it's been delayed from November 7th. And November 7th, I think, is the day the Xbox One X...
Well, it was announced for November the 7th. It's now delayed till next year.
Yes, spring 2018, apparently. They need more time. All three of the developers, I actually hadn't clocked that three developers were involved in this. So Reagent Games, Sumo Digital, and Cloud Jin, which is the dumbest name of anything I've ever heard. Is it like a cloud of gin, or is it like an engine cloud? Which is, because engines are originally steam-powered, the fact that you've got an engine that's made out of steam is like the Ouroboros eating its own anus, quite frankly. It's ridiculous, ridiculous premise. I've had a long day.
Well, that sounds it. Are you okay, hon?
I know, Coleman. I need you to be the big spoon again.
I'm the leader.
So Crackdown 3 has been delayed. And I must say, I suppose they want it to be great. But I suppose it's just Forza 7 is really there to show off what the Xbox One X can do now.
Yeah,
and there'll be a list of games that will be sort of retrofitted for the Xbox One X. So...
with 4K assets and whatnot.
It's a shame, because Crackdown was, when I bought my Xbox One, two of the games that were in development were Crackdown 3 and Scalebound. So...
the kiss
at least
death.
You're still getting one of them.
on Coleman's most wanted list.
I don't have any kind of allegiance to PlayStation over Microsoft or anything like that. I simply go with the console that has the bigger environment of my friends for me to play with and the bigger games for me to play with, all that kind of stuff. But Xbox One has just seemed like a real bum deal for me ever since picking the damn thing up. Because anything I ever want gets delayed or cancelled, and... I think the only enjoyment I've ever got out of the Xbox One since picking the damn thing up is Forza Horizon 3.
The Australian game.
Yeah, that's a great game. And then other than that, backwards compatible titles that I've already got preloaded on my Xbox 360 anyway. So I don't know.
I must say, until I moved and unplugged my Xbox One. No, I don't have an Xbox One. It's my Xbox One. I primarily used it to watch Blu-ray's on.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
Yeah.
You're a Mexican beaded lizard, Harry.
I think the most use I got out of my Xbox One when I picked it up was the streaming, streaming videos from PC to console, because the PlayStation didn't have that function at the time, but that's been patched in since, so...
Meh. Well, I'm sure... It's one of those... One of those things where I'm sure it's a calculator risk, and clearly it was not going to be ready in time to show the console off to its full potential. I'm just surprised that they delayed it all the way till spring rather than try and sneak it out, just before Christmas if they can.
Well, do you know how long it takes to render those abs on what's his face? I've forgotten his name. We get
Terry Crews.
Yeah. Not to mention all the voice capture of him going,
this is true.
We've already seen that delaying games hasn't really hurt Sony and PlayStation much. I mean, Horizon got delayed, came out one of the best games of the year. You've Uncharted, which was delayed a few times, came out and was really, really good. I mean, this is obviously, it's better for the game, which is good. So people are going to get a better game because of this, certainly a more stable game, which is fine. I think the only problem with this for Microsoft is, unlike PlayStation, they don't have quite as many marketing deals set up or kind of third-party deals set up for this kind of end of the year. So, like, Sony has, like, Battlefront and...
Destiny.
Destiny 2.
Destiny!
It has all of those games that it can kind of look at as almost pseudo-exclusives with some, like, added content in there. Something that they can kind of put, like... TV ads on about. And Microsoft, they just now lost one of the things they could do that with. Obviously, Forza 7 is going to sell Xbox One X's, and there's going to be patches for those games. It's just, it's disappointing for them, because I'm sure this crackdown would have really helped them make a bit more of a splash with the One X, and may have helped kind of restart the machine. But at the moment, yeah, it's going to be disappointing, I think, for them.
Can we talk about something else that's disappointing?
Yeah, is this going to turn into a session I need to charge you for, Coleman, or what's going to happen?
I mean, it all started back when I were a lad.
Right. Did some big hairy bloke come to your house and go, "You're going to be a wizard, Harry"? No, I'm not called Harry. What the? It was, "Oh, sorry, I got the wrong house." And then you've been plagued by dreams of what you could have been.
Take a handful of this flute powder and lob it in the chimney, and off you go to Diagon Alley.
Just take one of these sweeties and get in the back of my car.
It was just fag ash. I was lobbing it at the radiator.
Jesus.
This has gone dark.
Yeah. Harry Potter and the Crystal of Meth.
Oh, I like that one. Harry Potter and the baseball bat with a screwdriver through it. Anyway, Deep Silver, who they're a publisher who publish games.
They're making my favourite word, I understand. Shenmue.
Yeah, they've announced that they're going to be the publishers for Shenmue 3. I was questioned a little while ago why we say Shenmue.
I could fucking tell you if I wanted.
Okay, it's actually because on the Barrelcast, Pac-Man says Shenmue instead of Shenmue.
Oh, yes, that's correct, yes.
And Kev found this hilarious, filling in on this show, we were talking about Shenmue, and then he laughed because he's like, "Has anyone heard how Pac-Man says Shenmue? He says Shenmue." And then we just came up with really stupid pronunciations, and it became Shenmue.
Shenmue.
So there you go. That's the backstory of that. But anyway, yeah, Deep Silver's going to be publishing it, which has been described as an ideal partnership, because Deep Silver's kind of been, they've been working on bringing a lot of Japanese titles to the UK.
I was half expecting that to go Arnold there for a moment when you're putting your voice on. Deep passion for bringing Japanese titles.
That's not me putting the voice on. That's my natural voice underneath this hidden accent.
Really? So this whole time it's been an act, Coleman?
Yeah, the whole thing's an act.
Wow.
Geezer.
Are you the groundskeeper as well, by any chance?
Huh?
Never mind, Scooby-Doo. What's with those pesky kids?
It's old man Jasper who owns the amusement arcade.
It's old man Hagrid who's getting Coleman to throw fag ash at cars.
I'm just looking at the previous games that Deep Silver have published.
Persona.
They also did Mighty No. 9 and Homefront the Revolution. And Dreamfall Chapters.
And Agents of Mayhem, which has just come out.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that's...
Well, that's meant to be really good, I thought.
No.
The reviews have been middling.
Oh, yes. Okay. Saints Row, that was good.
Well, up until a point.
So I think this is mutually beneficial. I think Shenmue having a Western publisher is good. And obviously Deep Silver probably need a hit. So that's good.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I really think that Shenmue 3 is going to be a big letdown to anyone that's excited for it.
If the game industry has taught me anything, stuff that gets overhyped, you know, you just tell it's not going to meet expectations because people get so ridiculously over the top with what they think it's going to be able to achieve. Ooh.
What's that? I feel something scratching in my throat. Hold on. Destiny!
It can happen to the best of publishers, is all I'm saying.
Activision ruined it. Oh, I don't know what happened there. Sorry.
Do you want a lozenge there, Chris? I was actually going to mention the aforementioned Mighty No. 9, but okay, Destiny is
Mighty No. 9.
Yep.
Inafune's a hack. Right, let's carry on, shall we?
There's an update. In fact, there's lots of... In fact, I'm going to be talking about lots of updates in my What I've Done play. But anyway, here's an update to wet your whistle. Everyone likes version 5s because they're more than version 4s, right?
Yes. I prefer version 5.0s, but okay.
What about something that's a 4, but also version 5?
Ooh, I see where you're going with this.
A PlayStation 4 5.
Much like the leaked patch that we were talking about last week, there's actually confirmation this week.
Indeed. So, a bunch of invitations being sent out for PlayStation 4's latest system software, version 5, which they allege is going to bring things with patch notes other than general improvements and bug fixes, which is what you usually get.
And stability.
Stability. Improving system stability, because I don't know about you, my PlayStation 4 is unhinged, man. It really is. It's got some issues, and every now and again needs a little bit of sedation with an update patch. So, so version 5 is on the way. People are going to be beta testing it. It's codenamed Nobunaga or Nobunga, as I like to call it.
Which is Japanese fun. For...
You're a wizard, Harry.
Disappointing.
PlayStation team's massive Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
I love it. Sorry, it's Japanese for what, Diarmid?
Disappointing.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I was going to say, yeah, so I got invited into this and I've only just downloaded it as soon as I got home. And the leak was pretty much correct. We just have a few more details now. So that update to the master and kind of sub-account system is this new family mode, which allows multiple users to be created within the system, multiple parents or guardians to be assigned,
right?
Who can then tailor the kind of console, like locking down the console and making it kind of locked down, parentally locked down for the sub-accounts. So, for instance, if you have a child that's, I don't know, 5 or something, and you have a teenager, you can lock down the 5-year-old to only be able to play games of a certain rating, rather than have a system-wide kind of lockdown. And then the teenager can be locked down to just play games for teenagers. And yeah. So, or, you know, up as far as teenagers and so
now,
on.
Now, if I had a teenager and a 5-year-old, I would actually do it the other way around just to wind the teenager up.
The little kid gets like the killing
kid
floor too.
Grand Theft Auto or something. Mom, what does ball bag mean?
What I want is, I want it so if a child is of under 18 years old, you know, if their parents want them to play, you know, if they're okay with them playing 18 rated games, then fine, go ahead, but remove the voice chat off their option completely.
Just for everyone else's sake, or just make them only be able to play with each other.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. They'll be able to play, but the voice chat, like, they think it works, but no one can hear them.
Which actually doesn't make any difference to the rate that if you've ever been on an open voice channel on anything, there's a teenager on it. It's just like endless drivel that just doesn't stop or take account of anyone else who may be saying anything anyway. So probably they won't know.
I was on GTA over the weekend, and a child told me to slit my wrists and catch cancer off my nan. So hey,
isn't that nice?
Luckily, I got screenshots of the entire conversation and sent it all over to Rockstar, and his account went missing pretty quickly.
Nice. Nice.
Snitch.
No, no more Harry Potter references. I think we're done.
You gotta catch the snitch.
Okay, just the other kind of key points on this one then. So when you're broadcasting and you're broadcasting a VR game, comments from people who are watching you actually appear.
Whoa.
I don't know why they don't also have notifications appear or some of the, but you know.
No, they appear on the TV screen, but you just can't see them because you're wearing a VR helmet.
That is true. But this time they actually appear in the VR headset
They don't appear on screen though, do they? Because when trophies ping, it plays the noise, but I don't think it shows up on the screen or in the VR headset, which was really annoying when I was trophy hunting in Batman.
Yeah, for some reason they don't do that, and it's kind of annoying. Like, it's nice having the sound, at least you have that, but now you have spectator comments appearing. Hopefully that means that they're going to work on adding other notifications to it as well.
Mm.
There's also support for VR players to use 5.1 and 7.1 virtual surround sound when they're watching DVDs and Blu-rays.
Ooh.
In cinematic mode.
Hang on, let me stop you a cotton-picking minute here. Why wasn't that in already?
Well, the thing is, they haven't had to make any change to the hardware, obviously. This is a software patch, so clearly it was just something that they hadn't enabled in the software.
They just forgot to switch it on.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh,
like,
shit.
Oh, crap.
They've actually got a whole warehouse full of 4K Blu-ray drives that they meant to put in PlayStation 4 Pro.
No, it's actually, if it is just a software thing, you know when you forget to do something at work and then you remember like 10 o'clock in the evening, you're like, damn it, I'm going to get in trouble tomorrow. Like, someone will remember that and like, oh, I was meant to switch that on in October last year. Oh.
The other big thing for me, which I kind of like, is the ability or the fact that the quick menu that you can, if you hold down the PlayStation button, it pops up on the side.
Yeah.
Now includes a new heading for notifications. So if you get any notifications, you can immediately go into that from like within a game and so on. So that's good.
So is that in VR?
Yep. Sorry?
Is that in VR?
The quick menu, if you try and launch the quick menu in VR, it takes you back to the cinematic view again.
Oh, okay.
And then on, so you do kind of get the, but you kind of get the regular notifications anyway that way, so.
Okay.
However, the big thing that I've noticed that I haven't seen reported anywhere yet since I launched it is the, so within that same quick menu, you can also do a lot of other stuff, like there's the music heading and friends and all that. There's also a party heading, so you can create parties and invite people into it and join parties One of the things that has been... Exactly. One of the things that has been... I'll just wait.
Sorry.
So one of the things that has been annoying me since this was put in place is the fact that you can't actually leave. That is also true. You can't leave a party from within that quick menu. They've now added that option in.
Oh,
so
good.
If you're in a party, you can go into the quick menu and leave it. You don't have to go into the party menu and scroll through a number of options.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question. So, at the moment, if you want to set up a private party in PlayStation, you can do so. But if then you decide to become a bit more of a sociable animal and let other people in, you can't unprivate that party. Have they fixed that, or don't you know yet?
I don't know yet. I haven't tested it. I can test
that's
it after this done.
DMS.
Let you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll give it a test.
I expect to report back next week is what I expect.
Yes.
Otherwise, I shall be very disappointed in you, young man.
I will look into that.
Very disappointed.
All right.
Okay. Aww. So, what are you going to do, dear Med?
What?
Oh, dear God, man!
I wasn't listening. What was I meant to pick up there?
Coleman!
Yeah?
Do the thing he said. Make him do it. I don't care.
Okay, so if I remember correctly, Tina's doing her dance, John's looking for romance, mm-hmm. Paul's getting down on the floor while Hannah's screaming out for more.
For more, the dirty, dirty puppet.
Want to see Bradley swing, want to see Rachel do her thang.
No.
Then we got Joe, she got the flow. Get ready, everybody, because here we go. S Club ain't no party like an S Club party.
So now what we know from that is that there's somebody who sounds like they like a bit of dogging, someone who's a bit loose, someone who's currently experiencing their monthly lady time, and that I've just wasted another 5 minutes of my life talking about S Club 7.
Ain't no party like an S Club party.
So do I just stop recording now, or what?
But anyway, do you report back about the party thing, dear Med, please?
Yep.
Yes, I will report back.
Yes. So is it as exciting? Because the version, the firmware version 4 was a bit of a big deal, actually.
Yeah.
Is this nowhere near as much of a big deal?
No, not even close. I mean, I'm sure there's probably stuff done in the background, and I've seen, I think, on NeoGAF, people who were talking about this, saying that this update actually does quite a bit for developers and helps them quite a bit. But in terms of what the users are actually getting from this, it doesn't really feel like it justifies a whole five, you know, that kind of update numbering. So it's kind of weird, but I guess, you know, may as well roll it out now.
Well, if they hadn't squandered all those other bits behind the decimal point and then version 4, they could have called it version 4.5, but no, it's version 4.72 without care in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on you, Sony. Mm-hmm. Shame on you.
WWE
We're a wizard, Harry.
You're a wrestler, Harry. Now go in the get in that ring and fight Kazira Kazara.
I can't say his name. In a mildly homoerotic fashion, if you could.
Hey, guys, WWE 2K18 is a thing.
Yes,
and,
it is.
There's been a roster reveal, part one, which they've announced. Part one. They do this. They stagger the announcement of who's going to be on the roster each year.
But it's like three flipping pages on the agenda, Coleman.
I know. There's 47 wrestlers that have been announced for this year.
Hit me with some highlights from this first list.
Okay.
Not all of them, just some.
I think I should do all of them, but really quick.
Okay. Right.
Do it as quickly as possible.
You have Akira Tozawa, Xolanda Wolf, Alundra Blaze, Andre the Giant, Bam Bam Bigelow, Baron Corbin, Batista in a Deluxe Pack DLC, Big Boss Man, Big Show, Braun Strowman, Bray Wyatt, Brett the Hitman, Hart, Brie Bella, British Bulldog, Brock Lesnar, Buddy Rogers, Bushwhacker Butch, Bushwhacker Luke, Cesaro, Dean Ambrose, Diamond Dallas Page, Diesel, who's also Kevin Nash, Dolph Ziggler, Dusty Rhodes, Emma, Eric Young, Eric Rowan, Finn Balor, Goldust, Hideo Itami, Jinder Mahal, John Cena, plus of John Cena Retro in the Deluxe Pack DLC, Kalisto, Kane, Carl Anderson, Kevin Owens, Killian Dane, Connor, Kurt Angle in pre-order bonus DLC, Lita, Luke Gallows, Luke Harper, Mark Henry, Nikki Bella, Nikki Cross, Paige, Randy Orton, Rob Van Dam in Deluxe Pack DLC, Sami Zayn, Sasha Banks, Sawyer Fulton, Seth Rollins, Sheamus, Sin Cara, Summer Rae, Undertaker, and Victor.
And thank you to all of those people who left lovely iTunes reviews this week.
And on the iTunes this week. But there was also there was a trailer for the box reveal, so there's also a bunch of other people that aren't listed in the roster but have been shown in-game. So also included will be Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Cactus Jack, Chris Jericho, Edge, Goldberg, Jake the Snake Roberts, JBL, Macho Man Randy Savage, Mankind, Papa Shango, Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Sting, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Tatanka, Ted DiBiase, Triple H, and Ultimate Warrior.
Well, splendid.
So those are all the confirmed characters at the moment. Now, you notice a couple of ones there. I said deluxe DLC. There's going to be a deluxe pack, which is, I don't know how much, £130 or something.
Jesus,
probably.
Jesus wept.
Yeah, they do it every year now. They make a special pack that usually has like an autograph and a figurine and all these kind of things in there. Mm. But it includes a bunch of wrestlers that usually I really want, and they'll release them down the line for an additional cost outside of the season pass. So I always get really peed off with that. And then there's also Kurt Angle, who's the special pre-order bonus wrestler this year, because Kurt Angle's back in the WWE, which is pretty cool.
Cool.
So yeah, those are all the wrestlers. Game's coming out on the 20th of October this year.
My
for PS4
birthday.
And Xbox One. Dan's getting it for his birthday.
Am I?
And then later it comes out on the PC and the Switch, but we haven't got a date for that yet.
Because they've got to put all those wrestlers in the wash to shrink them really small so they can fit on the Switch.
Tiny little wrestler.
Hold me closer, tiny wrestler.
Ooh, yeah.
Just on that note, I did mention Ric Flair, and I know this is a video games podcast and I shouldn't talk about wrestling, but Ric Flair had a heart attack over this week, and he's like...
Oh.
Yeah, I'm very critical of Ric Flair's work, but I will admit he's a legend and someone that I watched growing up. And he ended up being put into like a medically induced coma and then having to have a surgery. But I was really scared because I thought I was going to lose a legend this week, but he's actually recuperating pretty well. So
actually, it's all part of an extremely obtuse story arc that's going to come to fruition in WrestleMania 57.
Oh, please don't. Please don't. You'll make me cry.
There we go. But there's also some other little bits and bobs that we're just going to mention in passing. First of which is Prey is now available as a PC trial.
Each night is Prey.
This is such a weird show.
Hoping that I'll be a part of you again someday.
No, thank you.
There's a PC trial available, which is news because if you remember initially, there was a Xbox One and PS4 demo, but not a PC demo.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason given to us by Bethesda was that you can use Steam's return policy to just play like just under an hour of the game and return it.
Which and Steam went, hang on.
Yeah. Steam weren't happy with that. Consumers weren't happy with that. Jim Sterling did a really interesting Jimquisition video on that. So I'll probably put that in the notes at some point. But yeah, there's a PC trial available now. So they've taken all that back.
And Quake Champions is coming to early access. I thought it's already been knocking about in a mildly early access fashion.
Alpha and beta.
Not. Okay, so we're now officially saying alpha and beta is different to early access.
Yep.
Right, good,
splendid.
Well,
because you've got to pay for early access.
Indeed you do. Indeed you do. While they're still finishing off the game, those cheeky varmints. And that's coming out on 22nd of August. We Happy Few, that slightly creepy...
Slightly?
This slide's very creepy.
Yeah.
How would you best describe We Happy Few?
It's a procedurally generated survival stealth game that's
bingo.
Very...
Bingo!
It takes a
I've got all the words.
It takes more than a few cues from Sir, Are You Being Hunted, if you want to look that up.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. And that's now being announced for the 13th of April 2018 on PS4, Xbox One and PC.
Nice.
And Gamescom is just around the corner.
This weekend.
And there's going to be some Xbox One X announcements, particularly pre-order info. I got an email from Amazon today going, hey, you're going to fucking say how much money you're going to feel compelled to spend on the 20th of August.
Is that Kevin and Perry sending you email?
Yeah, that is the Perk Experience boy. He's as a special treat for doing well in his A-levels, they let him send that
Burke's
email
today. Kathy Burke's been emailing you. She works at Amazon now.
Yeah. So, 20th of August, Gamescom is when we're going to hear more about that. Confirmation of how you're going to be able to get hold of one of those, should you so desire. But not wanting to be outdone by people hanging around in Germany, Sony are going to be at the Paris Games Week on the 30th of October. It's more than that one day, because obviously it's a week. And they're going to be doing a showcase event there. So, prepare to be underwhelmed.
Over the last 2 years now, Sony pulled away from Gamescom. Microsoft kind of took that as their big thing outside of E3. Mm-hmm. And then Sony moved on to I think Sony were already doing Paris Games Week, and now they've just made that their Gamescom, essentially. So it's kind of interesting through that way. But they had a lot of really good announcements. And when they were, they spent 1 year just doing all VR stuff, essentially. And they tried to do an on-stage demo of a game that was very similar to the Dueling Discs from Tron. And I just remember laughing my head off because none of it worked. It's just like two guys out there to play VR games. Like, it doesn't work. Why won't it work? That game's actually coming out now, so I think they fixed it.
But that's the thing. They've announced this for the 30th of October, and like just over a month later, like in December the 9th and 10th, they have the PlayStation Experience. They just announced that as well. So... they're very close together, really.
Yeah.
And I know that they didn't want to do Gamescom because it was so close to E3, but either way, it's close to something.
Yeah. It's always interesting to see what's going to be announced or whether they're going to be teasing stuff that they're later going to be embellishing on at PlayStation Experience.
At least
maybe.
It'll be at a sociable time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Paris Games Week's really close to the PlayStation Experience as well, really. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's my point. So, like, avoiding Gamescom to get away from E3 and going to Paris Games Week doesn't really achieve anything when you have PlayStation Experience shortly after as well.
Unless they're just going to be a big tease at Paris Games Week and just have a load of hints about other stuff that's around the corner, like they're going to let out of the bag at PlayStation Experience, perhaps. Just an idea? Just a thought?
Potentially. I think, to be honest with you, I think Paris Games Week, purely because Quantic Dream and Media Molecule are so close, you're going to see a lot of Dreams in Detroit there. And then PlayStation Experience will jump back to America. Therefore, it'll probably be where you get the next Last of Us 2 information.
No. You know what the big one's going to be this year? The Order 1886 2. But it's going to be The Order 1986, and it's going to have a really banging soundtrack.
Yeah. That would be awesome. I would play that game.
This Xbox Gold. You're on the wrong console. You got the power to know you're not cross-platform. Anyway.
Anyway, that's all the news.
Yeah, it is. Lots of Gamescom stuff doubtless for us to witter on about next week. So that's good times. I suppose you ought to just see what we've done and played. Not a great deal, other than I decided to dip my toe in the water of Origin Access on the PC for the princely sum of £4 for 1 month. It is £20 for the year, should you so want to do so. But because Battlefield 1's dropped on that, and I figured just trying out Battlefield 1 for £4 sounded like a pretty good deal. And you can try out anything else there as well. So they've been adding quite a lot of stuff to the Games Vault on Origin, which essentially it's the same kind of deal, albeit with a slightly better but more voluminous back catalogue on the PC. It's similar to EA Access on Xbox One.
Yeah.
So yeah, as long as you're paying a subscription, you can play full versions of those games. And there's Titanfall 2, Battlefield 1, Battlefield 4, Battlefield 3, Battlefield Hardline.
UFC and UFC 2, I think, are in there.
Yep, there's Mass Effect 1 through 3. No Andromeda yet, but I can imagine that's not far behind. So if you just want to see what's on offer for £4 when there's a bit of a gaming drought on, you know, you can probably entertain the month away.
I hear that EA are just taking Mass Effect Andromeda and sticking it in their actual vault and not letting anyone see it ever again.
You don't get to see this anymore.
No. No.
Mass Effect, what? No.
You didn't treat it with respect.
You ruined it for everyone else.
So that's why I've been doing that. And there's been a couple of big patches that have landed. First of which is No Man's Sky version 1.3, or as it really should be, No Man's Sky version 0.3. It's getting there to the game they promised, I'm not going to lie. They've added in quite a lot this time. They've rejigged all of the UI, kind of regenerated the universe a bit, made all the planets more populatable, lots more stuff going on. There's also apparently a story now, which I can confirm there is some semblance of story.
There's a photo mode as well. I've seen lots of photos being out there.
Previous version it's been in.
Oh, okay. That's been
there for a while.
I played a little while ago and I got very lost since all the updates, so I need to start afresh, I think.
Yeah, and it's worth having another look at. I mean, they've rejigged everything. They've done a lot of quality of life stuff to it, so it's a lot less of a chore to play now. They've certainly rebalanced some of the not only the abundance, but the requirement for various materials as well. Mm-hmm. There's now like kind of a mission board, so you can go and do random tasks for aliens with butt faces, nice. Which is always fun. And that can give you dosh or new items or
Dr.
increased
Gibbons,
reputation.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yes.
I guess it's kind of a question. I heard there was multiplayer added in some form.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Because if it's suitable, then I'm thinking of doing some streaming with Mr. Hibbs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So you technically can see the other person.
Right.
But they're a big floating ball.
Oh, Fable 2'd it.
Yeah, they Fable 2'd it.
That's really disappointing. I was hoping I could... The dream for me in No Man's Sky 2 is be able to hunt him down to the ends of the universe and kill him.
Well, you just need to find the planet you started on, because you're just going to be there actually just grumbling. You can't
still
do
it.
Build a stupid ship.
Should be watching Harry Potter right now. I knew we should have gone with that bearded bloke and his flying bike.
I should have been a wizard.
So the multiplayer, all it has really is proximity-based voice chat. That seems to be it. But it feels like a first step.
Yes.
Okay. I hope they add on it, because I really wanted multiplayer in that.
I mean, just to give you kind of the headlines from their website about it. There is a new story and a new mysterious race. Apparently, 30 hours of story content. The new race is interdimensional. Make of that what you will. They have added wealth, economy, and conflict to star systems. So they're trying to elite dangerous this shizzle dizzle right up. They have improved your biomes. I love an improved biome. There's now, in a vaguely someone's just watched episode 7 kind of way, there are crashed freighters on planets. So these big, big, massive freighters have just plunged into planets. And you can dig them out using a terrain manipulator.
Do you still have this on PS4, Dan?
Yes, I do.
Are you free over the weekend?
Probably not, but I'll give it a go.
We should try some.
Yeah, so there's mission systems, non-player guilds, there's intergalactic trading. There's all kinds of stuff that they've done. They've done quite a lot to it. So it's well worth, and it's free, so it's well worth checking out.
And the game's almost free.
Yes, the game. Well, I think they had a 60% discount, actually.
Yeah, I saw Brady picked up for like £5, I think.
Yeah, so it's well worth looking. It is well worth looking at. And, you know, joking aside, I mean, it had a very, very rough launch, No Man's Sky. But it's slowly getting to where it needs to be. And, you know, bless them, it's clearly become a bit of a a labor of love for Hello Games, but they are doing good, really interesting things with it. So
I really like about No Man's Sky at the moment, with all these updates and, you know, improvements of the quality of life, and something we've seen with the previous patches as well, there's a small subsection of people that are online going, I like the game before the updates, and like they're really complaining about it.
Yeah, they're the same people who think the Earth is flat.
Well, no, because when the game launched, if you remember, it was me and Tim taking a lot of flack for really liking the game as it was, and Joe from GeekSpeak, I believe, as well.
Yeah,
and
I liked it too.
Well, there you go. And now all these people are being really vocal, like, oh, I like the game before all the updates. I'll never play the game. You've ruined it for the hardcore fan base and all this kind of stuff. I was like, where the bloody hell were you when I was getting my ass handed to me by all the vocal minority? Hey? Didn't speak up for me then, did you?
No, they didn't.
But yeah, I'll probably start again for the... Oh, God, it'll be my fourth time starting again. Yeah. I will start again and try to get into all the updates and stuff.
So, yes. So, I mean, it's heading in the right direction. And I, Common, if you haven't ever really got too far or too invested into the single player, probably starting a new save is the way to go since that.
I really did, but I got to a point where I was just constantly getting hounded by space pirates.
Yarr. Yarr.
Constantly shooting me out of the sky.
Constantly telling you're a wizard.
You're a wizard.
You're a wizard.
You're a pirate, Harry. Go away, I'm a wizard.
You're a space wizard, Harry.
Hunting dragons in space with their laser breath.
Oh, you listen to Wizard Harry.
This show's weird.
Here it is. Merry Christmas, Harry.
Hey, what else has been updated, Dan?
The Division, the version 1.7. Again, that's slowly becoming the game they promised it was going to be. Yeah, it's a kind of real quality of life update, which seems to be the way to describe these things. But they have, aside from the rebalancing and stuff, you can now change your face at will. It makes me laugh. In the patch notes, they describe it. There is an interactive mirror in the base of operations, which is basically, it's a mirror. You look in the mirror and
but
you see your face.
Is it still the same face sets, though? Because the face sets were crap.
As far as there are one or two additional options that I've found. I think glasses and stuff are now a thing. And okay.
Well, they were before, but if you applied them at the start, you were stuck with them.
Yeah, so now you can swap and chop and change and actually change the whole shape of your... I don't think you can change the shape of your face, okay. But you can change your hairdo, your facial hair.
I'm gonna boot up Division because I need to make my character bald now to keep up with the trend.
Yes, indeed. So that's out. There's a bunch of things which, slightly borrowed from other MMO-esque games. There's now global events. They're kind of really incentivizing the PvE side of things because the PvP in the Division is broken as fudge. So they're just walking away from that. There's new gear sets, so they're borrowing a bit from Diablo kind of in there as well. And it's just generally a bit of a kick up the bum for it. I mean, it's still an okay game. I mean, I think they're addressing the late game, but the early game is still where the problem of the enemies being a bullet sponge really lies. But even so, it's worth checking out if you've already got it. I'm not saying it's... I would say if you can find No Man's Sky cheap, it is almost worth picking up for the version 1.3 patch. But The Division, it's a nice little update. And also on the PC I found... it can just randomly crash when it's starting after the update. And you might need to go into the config files and tell it to use DirectX 11 rather than 12. That sorted it out for me.
See, I'll still be playing on PS4. I didn't buy the season pass, so I don't have any of the DLC. Would you recommend I go for the DLC if I'm going to go back balls deep into...
If you get back into it and you really like it, if you can find it for a tenner, maybe.
Okay.
But I wouldn't pay full £40 season pass price for it.
Because I've been playing... I really enjoyed it when I played it. I was talking about this the other day, because we were talking... I was talking with a friend at work about No Man's Sky, because they said it was a massive letdown. And I went, oh, actually, no, I got what I paid for. I got exactly what I wanted out of that game. And I put a good 40 hours into it. And I went, oh, it's like The Division. The Division, everyone kind of went, oh, this is a great game as it came out. And then went, actually, no, it's not got the features we wanted, and it's not as good as we were shown in the vertical slice and all this kind of thing. It's like, well, I put like a good 30, 40 hours into that game. I got what I wanted out of it. It just completely dropped off the radar for me, but I put more time into that game than a lot of games I've bought in the past. I keep getting tempted to go back into it, but Destiny 2 is so close.
Oh, open PC beta next weekend.
What to do, Dan? What to do?
What to do? You need to buy it, Coleman.
Well, yeah, I'm going to buy Destiny 2. I know I'm going to buy Destiny 2. I don't know what I'm going to do about The Division. I might... I was going to say, if Destiny 2 is a massive letdown, I'll jump into The Division. It won't be a massive letdown, because it's Destiny. I know I'm going to like it.
Yeah, you're going to have it work. For no other reason, you get to take the... of me and you for a whole 2 years.
Well, look, the worst thing that's going to happen is I'm going to boot up Destiny 2 and they're going to go, buy our loot boxes. I go, oh, no, off. See ya.
No,
I'm out.
All
right. Over there with the Warner Brother games. Get out of it.
Yeah, see you later. So, there's a Destiny 2 icon has now appeared in the battle.net client.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it's segregated out. Yeah, isn't it?
It's on its own
little area. Kind of going
with Activision.
Way down there.
So in your corner, Destiny 2.
No, I'm good. I'll stick with the PS4 version because, my PC will run Destiny 2.
Well, actually, you say that. The minimum system specs aren't that big.
Okay. I'll have a look later. I tried running PUBG. I need a new video card if I do
Plunkbat. Did you try running Plunkbat?
No, I used that system that Smash Soul sent over to scan your PC and say if it's suitable or not.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
One that said that Bleezy uses a potato.
Yep.
An actual PC.
Oh, Bleezy. Hey, do you know what the best thing about Battlefield 1 was near the beginning?
Pigeons.
Yes, don't joke. Unexpected pigeon moment.
There is, go to Big Red Barrel's Geek Speak podcast, Bleezy's on an episode. I'm going to see if I can quickly find it. And he talks about Battlefield 1 and kind of like historical significance and all this kind of stuff to it, but also pigeons. He does talk about pigeons in the game, so...
Well, I got to be a pigeon.
I'll see if I can find that.
I got to be a pigeon.
Dear Med, do you want to do yours while I'm looking for this episode?
Indeed. So apparently I'm going to talk about Plunkbat, which I didn't know what it was until Dan explained it to me.
Yes.
So, PL is player.
Yes.
UNK is unknown. And Bat is Battlegrounds.
Yes, and it's also, I think you'll agree, far more fun to say than PUBG.
Well, PUBG, PUBG, or as I mentioned earlier with Denny O'Dwyer and kind of funny, Pubbage. So, there's multiple ways of calling it.
No, I don't know about you, but before I became a car-carrying member of the PC Master Race, thanks, Kev, he was my
Shout
sponsor.
Shout out to your boy, Kev.
Kev was my sponsor into the club.
Shout out to my boy, Kev! Yo, yo, yo!
You make a flop! Anyway, the first time I heard PUBG, I thought, oh man, is Fable coming back? I thought it was PUBG games. Genuinely thought it was PUBG games. I know.
Now I'm sad.
At least Plunkbat is. And I also think Plunkbat is just a fun word to say.
Fable is kind of coming back. Sort of. Fable's kind of coming back. Like, there's that Fable Fortunes, which is a pub card game.
I suppose so.
And it's done by the Mediatonic.
Anyway,
and
you're
going to
be a Plunkbat, Harry.
Yes. So all I was going to say is, that's pretty much all I've been playing this week. I finished off Archangel. If you want to catch up on what I thought of that, there's a PSVR roundup article on the site. You can give that a read. Tim, Coleman, myself go through a bunch of VR games that we and what we thought of them. I also have been playing more of Hellblade, but I haven't finished it. But the big thing that's been taking up all my time, and it has been since I bloody purchased the thing, has been Plunkbat, or PUBG, or whatever you want to call it. I could talk about it. I could talk about the various updates that have come out. The big thing for me is the fact that I saw news this week that this is a game still in early access, yet it sold over 7 million copies.
Wow. Jeez.
I mean, this thing is freaking huge.
Jesus.
It's unbelievable.
That's just a little bit more than the Nintendo Wii U sold.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I have no idea. I'm making stuff up.
I mean, it's one of the most popular games at the moment. It doesn't look like it's slowing down at all.
Apart from the updates, which are slowing down.
Well, other than that, the last one bloody brought the servers to a crawl.
Ooh.
I'm really wondering, just because you were talking about The Division earlier, I'm really wondering how big publishers, like you have the Activisions, the EAs, Ubisoft in this case,
I'm wondering, are they going to their teams like the team for the division and going, we need a battle royale mode in our game as soon as possible? Can you do it? I'm sure there's probably a version 2.0 version of the division that's coming out that's going to have some sort of inclusion of a player or a battle royale mode in there. I'm sure there's other games already in the works. One of the suggestions I heard this week from somebody online was, can you imagine if The Last of Us 2's multiplayer has a sort of a player unknown mode where the engine wouldn't be able to handle 100 players, but even if you reduce that down to like 25 or 20 and set it in a large area. I mean, it's that kind of stuff. Like, people are trying to emulate this huge success, and I don't know how much they're going to be able to do that, but it's just a phenomenon, and people are still playing it, and I'm still playing it, and that's what I've been spending most of my week doing.
There we are. Well, I have to say, I find myself frequently running out of skill very quickly in Punk, but I have good old time running around picking up stuff that I then, you know, abjectly fail to use in any useful manner whatsoever when actually encountering someone else face to face. But hey, that is Punk Bat. But it's a good fun game. It really is. I likes it.
I'm still on. Yeah. I can't run out on my PC, so I'm still doing the GTA Online thing. But I really enjoy GTA Online. I'm pretty sure I look at PUBG.
Do you have GTA Online on PC?
No, just PS4.
But
I'm looking for people to do heists with soon. So, you know, I know you've got it on PS4.
Extra life.
If you can bring
extra life.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I'll tell you what. I will see you a heist, and I will raise you a Destiny 2 raid.
Yeah. Well, I just want to do some heists. I want to get them out of the way, to be honest. Every time I try to do them, people quit out of them, and it's really annoying. Anyway, that Geekspeak episode...
Do I have to get Destiny 2 now to play with you guys?
Yeah, totally. You do.
For extra life.
Geekspeak, that episode, it's episode 63, Majestic War Pigeon, it's called, and it has Breezy. And the image...
How appropriate.
The image, which I remember making stupidly late at night, probably a little bit half-cut, was a picture of Vin Diesel riding a giant pigeon, so...
Excellent. Excellent.
Make of that what you will.
Absolutely superb.
Brilliant.
Hey guys, I've been playing a new game that just got announced yesterday.
Have you now? What have you been playing, Coleman?
So I went out to a VR bar, which I've completely forgotten the name of, but anyway, it looked pretty cool. I'll probably talk about it another time because we're planning something else there. But I went to go play a new VR game.
V-bar, it should be called.
V-bar. Something like that. Yeah. I've been playing a new VR...
No, all right, fair enough.
God damn it. A new VR game by Endreams, who are the self-proclaimed leading developers of VR in the UK. Uh-huh. And it's called Shooty Fruity.
Wow.
Yeah. So originally I was going to play... I think it was called like Project Banana or something when we were first told. And then went to go play it. This is a game for HTC Vive, Oculus Rift, and PlayStation VR. And the whole idea of this... Now, have either of you guys throughout your lives ever worked in a supermarket or a store or something of that ilk in retail?
Yes.
Yeah?
Worked in the cinema. That was the closest thing I got
to
retail.
I was a barman, that for a bit.
Actually, yes, I was also a barman, so...
As well as, like, restaurant jobs and stuff. I used to work at Asda, so... when I walked in and they went, hey, this is a game that's kind of like Job Simulator for supermarkets... I immediately groaned and felt like I was going to get Vietnam like flashbacks to where I worked in retail on Christmas. So anyway, yeah. So the aim of this game is you use motion controls and VR, so you are in a supermarket doing supermarket-like tasks. Now,
you need to just throw in the word procedurally generated, and that's this generation summed up of video games.
The demo we were shown was a small section of what's going to be the final game, and it was working the tills, which is what I used to do. And Asda, again, crawled to the floor in a fetal position, started sucking my thumb and crying. Where this is different is you've got to... items are coming down a conveyor belt. You've got to grab them, scan them, throw them into the bagging area. Also, the store's being invaded by mutant fruit.
Right.
Giant mutant fruit.
Okay.
So I'm just scanning away, and there's the tannoy announcements going like, clean up on aisle 6, that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, there's a crash, and I see an orange hopping towards me with a weird face on it. So the more items you're scanning through, the more your
points... Are you sure that wasn't Donald Trump?
Uh-huh. So...
Sadly not. And they're definitely fruits, not wrinkled scrota.
Actual fruits. So while you've got this conveyor belt leading up to the till, you've also got like a revolving belt above you that runs over the till that is bringing weapons towards you and past you. So to begin with, it's like a row of Mausers looking weapons, and you grab those and you shoot the fruit that are coming to invade you. And you take the, I believe the way this system works is you take the shopping, you scan it through, the more points you get, the better weapons you get. So at one point you get, you got your Mausers, you got your Magnum types, you've got your shotguns. But there's also other weapons like grenades, which really cool mechanic to it, because you grab a grenade and then you put it to your mouth to take the pin and then throw it at the fruit.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, or you can just put two hands together to pull the pin out manually. But the whole point of this, it kind of mixes Job Simulator with a first-person shooter, a VR shooter especially, because you've got to do that whole everything's around you and move around and stuff. Especially with the room scale stuff, it works really well. But you can either put all the shopping and scan it through, take a couple of weapons, then stop and shoot things. Or you can, with one hand, scan things through, and then with the other hand, shoot things, which was something I was trying to work out. And then I've actually found myself at a point pulling guns off the belt and then leaving them on the till, scanning things through, putting it over the pile of weapons I'd made myself, so I can just grab guns, shoot things, and then throw them away, grab the next load, because there's no reload. Once you're done, you throw the gun away and you've got to grab another gun. This game is much more fun than it deserves to be. And it's kind of like, it's like a, so again, this is one section of the game I got to play. There's going to be different things like shelf stacking and stuff that I really want to see how this all plays out. But with the till game just on its own, I could quite easily lose a day to this game. It's kind of like a horde mode type thing. So it starts off with a slow bouncing orange coming towards you. Then there's like a rolling apple. The big bad that I saw was a watermelon, this giant watermelon, and he takes loads and loads of damage. And also, frankly, there's items in with the shopping that you're scanning through. There's power-ups as well. So I think there was only one power-up in the demo that I got to see, and it's like a circular disc with a lightning bolt on it. Once you scan that through, it means all your guns have explosive rounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they run for like 6 rounds only, so you've got to use them sparingly for what you're using. But you can, like another cool thing, where I'm stacking up the weapons as well, I could see that power-up come and go, well, I don't really need that yet. I'll wait till a watermelon comes, put it aside, then keep scanning shopping. And where it's that kind of Job Simulator mechanic to it, you can quite easily be stockpiling these weapons and power-ups and accidentally knock them all off of the till, go, no, I've lost all my stuff. But it makes for a really hectic game. And as a demo, I mean, again, this game's not out till the end of 2017. Currently it's pending for, there's no confirmed date currently yet, but the mechanics are so tight and everything flows so smoothly that it's really, really fun to game, much like Job Simulator. I'm going to keep mentioning Job Simulator because it's the best, except for like the Rick and Morty game, which was made by the same people as Job Simulator. That's the best example I've got of what to compare this to. But it is stupidly fun and everything's really tight. The only kind of problem I had was I'd pick up a gun and it would drop the gun quite often. But again, early game, that's going to be fixed most probably. It could be that I was just accidentally hitting the touchpad, which I was told I was probably doing, but I'm pretty sure I wasn't doing that. We'll see. But yeah, look out for it. End of 2017, PlayStation VR, HTC Vive, Oculus Rift. I'm assuming that's with touch controllers. So good, so fun. And again, I'll probably update as more modes are announced, because I enjoyed it that much that I really want people to check this out. And it's in the PlayStation VR wrap-up that we did for this month as well. Yeah.
Ah, splendid.
Yeah.
That sounds nice. Like jolly good fun.
Also, it's End Dreams, and we had Dan Sheridan on the show not that long ago. Well, we've had Dan Sheridan on the show like 3 times now, I think. But I'm going to see, because I spotted him at the event as well, and we're going to see if we can get him back on the podcast to talk about Shooty Fruity a bit more as well.
Splendid.
But, yeah, so
it,
good.
But it does sound, it sounds like a game that has, that sounds like, when you hear it, you're like, what? But then as you explain it and watch a cheeky YouTube video, I go, yeah, all right, fair enough.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Check out the trailer for it especially. I'll see if I can stick that in the show notes as well. The bar, by the way, it was called DNA VR.
Dinava, mate.
DNA VR. It's in North London. They seem to have only recently started up, but it's an interesting premise where it's just like a place you rent to play VR games. And I was talking to a bunch of the guys about the logistics of setting this up, because they had the room I was in, there was like six different HTC Vives to play with. And they were like, oh yeah, we settled this up. But the lighthouses, which are the little boxes that you put in the rooms to scan body movement and stuff, yeah, they kept interfering with each other, which we didn't know was a thing. So they had to separate everything, like tarpaulin. So just tarp everywhere.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to see how they progress with that building as well. But we might be doing something there soon, but I've got to keep that quiet for now. But anyway, yeah, Shooty Fruity, check it out.
Splendid. I think awesome. If I had an HTC Vive, I'd be putting that on my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. Looking at the time, and because also Timothy J. Hibbs Esquire isn't here, I'm thinking perhaps leave Great British Debate till next week.
That's a good idea. I'm like six beers deep.
Yes. as always, if you've got any ideas of what you'd like us to bibble on about, then just let us know. But before we go, we ought to just remind you that Tuesday is a Tuesday, and no. on Tuesday the 22nd of August, not on 26th of August, the 22nd of August, the feature game is apparently going to be called something called Gang Up. Coleman, do you know anything about this?
Unfortunately, I don't. I should have probably looked this up before the show, but I forgot that I was writing the agenda out and went, Tabletop Tuesday. I forgot to ask Tim and he's gone off for Harry Potter, so I got the name off of him, but I didn't really get the chance to look it up. Regardless, we will have information about Gang Up on bigredbarrel.com. All you got to do is check us out. We'll be in the left top hand corner of the home screen. There's usually a post for Tabletop Tuesday. That'll have all the information.
Thanks to Board Game Geek, I can tell you that Gang Up is a casual card game where you compete to become the ultimate crime lord, and that's all I'm going to say on that.
That's fair enough. So that'll be Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston on the 22nd of August. Go check it out. But there'll be, again, like Tim usually says, bigredbarrel.com, the events part of our Facebook page on facebook.com/bigredbarrel, and on meetup.com. I'm assuming meetup/bigredbarrel. I don't know. I don't use meetup. So, but the information's usually
it's
on
where
end
they
of
put
those.
Tasty burgers just out of reach.
Tasty meetup. Up
tasty
there.
Meetup. There,
so,
there we go.
So short people and women that are scared of putting their arms in the air because of pit stains. You've seen that where they do the T-Rex arms? They can't get the burgers.
Wow.
Hey!
Yeah.
Oh! Hey! If you can't put your arms up, you can't raise the roof.
There ain't no like a meetup party, I tell you that. Anyway, we ought to say thank you to a couple of people before we disappear. And from the iTunes section of the iTunes, I would like to say a big, kind of heartfelt thank you to Sir Candy Yassin, who's been listening to this here show since it was Sarcastic Gamer UK.
Woo!
I know. Bless him, he's...
That was in the BC times.
Yeah, it was in the before Coleman.
Yeah!
And now it's...
It's becoming a thing!
Yeah. So AD, what does that stand for now?
After Dermot?
No, because it'd be...
Damn.
What's I'll get back to you.
Anno Domini is what AD stands
for. What's a place in Scotland with a D?
Dundee.
After Dundee. There you go.
There we go. Splendid. So there we go. Thank you for listening for so very long and for coming back for over 250 episodes, you poor man. So yes, thank you ever so much for the very kind words. We you know, very, very, very truly appreciate them. And if you would like to leave any reviews on iTunes, positive or otherwise, we always like for good, friendly, constructive feedback. The key is the word constructive. We'd be more than happy to hear from you. Nobody lurking in the forums this week, but there have been some people on Twitter, Coleman.
Yep. Thank you to Darren Betts Graves. Thank you to Nelly. Thank you to Spencer H. And no one on Facebook,
He's
sadly.
He's not the H, is he?
Hmm?
He's not the H.
The
H. H.
Like H from Steps.
Ah, oh, damn it.
5, 6, 7, 8. My boot scooting baby is traveling. Oh, God. Flags.
Do you reckon Tim's going to fire us?
Well, he doesn't have to edit this. I do. So I might fire us. Look forward to next week's show, which is just 2 hours and a half of Tim.
Oh, God. It's going to be that, isn't it?
Talking about VR and Harry Potter. And Harry Potter VR. Tim did have something he wanted me to say. Eve Valkyrie, which is a VR game, I believe.
Yes.
That's being patched so you can play it without VR now.
There's a new update. It won't require... The update is coming out in September, and the update is called Warzone.
Sorry, I just remembered because Tim told me about it, but I don't think he sent me in about it, so I forgot to say. But I think he specifically wants to say this because Nelly was talking about on Twitter that... He talks about a lot of VR games that she really wants to play but doesn't have VR. So yep. Here's a VR game that's now being taken out of VR so you can play with people in
Excellent.
VR.
And the good news, the really good news about this is the fact that it includes cross-platform multiplayer.
Ooh.
So players of Eve Valkyrie on the Vive, on the Rift, on a regular PC, on a PlayStation 4, and on PlayStation VR can all play together. And that's so it's true cross-platform multiplayer. That's the big thing.
I would
with
imagine having the 3D vision is gonna give you a slight competitive advantage over your monocular brethren.
Potentially,
I don't know. Does it do head tracking aim in that game?
Yes.
Okay. You're at a disadvantage if you're on a controller.
So, but no laser eyes for you, suckers.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's it. We ought to finish this show because we've gone on for long enough. So, dear man, thank you ever so much for showing up, sir.
You are welcome.
The pleasure is indeed all yours. So,
Beautiful, sexy Irish stallion.
This is the best accents in a podcast 2017 is the accolade we're going for this particular
show. The dapple grey stallion.
The dapple grade, yes, that.
Sexual. Harassment.
You're a lizard, Aaron. Yeah, so thank you, dear Med. And Coleman?
Yo.
Yeah.
What? You what?
You what?
Yeah. You what?
You sure?
You sure?
You sure?
You sure?
Yeah, so thank you ever so much for listening, ladies and gents. And I suppose without further ado, I have been Dan.
I have been a Basset Hound.
Yes, you have.
I've been a Dapple Grey Stallion.
Beautiful. And so yeah, we'll be back next week, no doubt. Far too much stuff from Gamescom to cram into a show, and me and Coleman might possibly want to push Tim off a bridge by the end of it as a result, but there we go.
I got work, so you're on your own, mate.
What? No, don't do that to me, Coleman. No.
We'll talk off show.
Oh god. Oh man, well that's going to be next week anyway. So thank you ever so much for tuning in as you always do. Make sure to visit bigredbarrel.com on the internet and just put /bigredbarrel after anything you find on the internet. Chances are we shall be there. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.